Jesus and St. Thomas that always intrigues me and always probably intrigues us. And it's not just about his doubting. But aren't you just dying to see what the resurrected Jesus looked like? We are literally dying to see it. But that mystery of what he looked like at the resurrection, just that air of mystery, gives that story, quite frankly, something that I'm surprised that a lot of scholars haven't devoted more time to, because there's really very few resurrection stories. We pin our whole faith on the resurrection, and yet there's very few stories that we can bring our and put our hands on. You would think if somebody was to write a gospel of Jesus, they'd spend maybe a fourth of it or a third of it on his life and two-thirds on it, what happened after he came and rose from the dead. But we don't have that kind of thing. That concept that one could be resurrected from the dead would even today, I think, create a stir that if it happened today, we ourselves would probably demand proof as well. And we'd have to say, well, we have to see it with our own eyes. In today's age of skepticism and division, by today's standards, that reappearance of Jesus, we would have all called fake news by the Apostle Thomas. Our virtue of skepticism hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. And as we read that gospel passage, brief encounter as it is, on how Jesus made himself manifest after rising from the dead, we all yearn deep in our hearts for that modicum of certainty that Jesus was and is who the gospel's 2,000 years of church teaching and more than 10,000 personal affidavits from who we call saints tell us he is. Fueled by our God-ignoring society today, we find it challenging to embrace this concept of Jesus with certainty. That this morning we are participating in something divine and not just some ill-informed, superstitious ritual. It's important for us that Thomas professes when he believes, "My Lord and my God." It is so important. It is so true. So much so that our lives depend on it. Because everything we believe is dependent on this resurrected Jesus. And yet, as I said, we have such little information. We carry some deep distress over how our minds hover, our heartfelt want to believe, tempered by our intellect of doubt. So we have this story of doubting Thomas. We all yearn for proof, and if not proof, at least comfort. To let ourselves be able to touch Jesus, especially when we are in our darkest need. This encounter with Thomas captures in today's gospel, I believe, is put there divinely for us to take comfort in our doubt. To be okay with yearning to touch Jesus and to actually take a chance and have faith. We are all offered that chance of faith, real conversion, real encounter with Jesus, where he becomes the Lord of our hearts and our souls. And we don't often realize it, but we are offered that very chance. That chance that Thomas was offered to touch Jesus, we are offered that chance every time we come to Mass in the Eucharist that we receive. Jesus did leave us with him in a form that feeds us, one that we can activate with all our senses and our recognition. We see that precious body, we hear the words, we feel the smoothness, we taste the bread, we smell this place called church. We come, we receive, we are fed. We touch Jesus in the Eucharist, and we become what we eat. Jesus knows you inside and out. He knows your joys, he knows your fears, he knows your doubts. He knows your courage. He knows your trials. He knows your joys. He knows your sufferings. And yet he offers you to become him. This encounter with St. Thomas, and since the beginning of Christianity, to forgive those who doubt is really an invitation to touch Jesus, an offer to touch him ourselves, and with our own voices proclaim my Lord and my God. And the chant with each Eucharist is to be changed forever.